not the real Santa Claus.
Sure I am. Want to see my gun?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies, gentlemen, folks, people listening.
Children, young children.
Very young children.
Like obsessively young children.
Moments after the point of conception, children.
Children in the womb whose mothers are putting headphones on their tum-tums so they can hear this. This is like baby Mozart.
I was about to say, this is part of baby Einstein, right? We're part of that program.
Well, welcome one and all.
Yes.
To another episode of Double Jeff Ross Batman.
The Batman.
Ladies and gentlemen, look over here. You'll see the Batman.
The Bat. Oh,
the Bat. Hey, guess what we're doing?
What are we doing?
We are back.
I have no memories. We're back. I can't form new memories.
We're back in the Diniverse. We dipped our toes back in.
We did.
We are in technically not Batman the Animated Series, but Batman the Animated Series. We're in the New Adventures of Batman and Robin. We're starting back again.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, I have a notes-rich opinion. My notebook is filled with opinions.
Oh, my goodness.
About the two episodes that we're going to cover.
Yeah, that's rare for you. You so rarely have an opinion about anything.
Now, what we're doing is we're watching the first two episodes that are available on the DC Universe app.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if this is the same as DVD or Blu-ray or air dates or anything. That's not important. What's important is a lot of dudes get their sternums broken very hard.
Right. The first thing we noticed while watching these episodes for you guys today on this fabulous day is that there's like six different full extension 2 feet to the chest planted full pencil, on hellacious drop kicks.
45-foot drop pencil kicks directly into men's unaware men's chests, by the way.
Yeah.
You're
getting sucker punched with this drop kick.
So the episodes that we're doing, the first one is Holiday Nights. And it is a Dini anthology of three relatively strange Christmas-themed or holiday-themed episodes.
Yeah, the Joker's is pretty on brand, but everybody...
Well, the Joker's is a little too on brand. The Joker's is on brand for a very different Joker.
Yeah, definitely not the one we're used to seeing in the Diniverse.
No.
Another thing I want to say right off the bat is, like, I think five people die in these two episodes that we watch.
There are some questionable deaths, too. There are some things where you're like, I think that person died.
Yeah.
So it starts out on December 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Salvation Army Santa ringing the bell. It's the whole thing.
Yeah.
The whole Christmas scene. And we see the Gotham Hotel, which is a seedy-ass thing. Place where Ivy and Harley Quinn are, like, depressed, hanging out in their rat hole. Harley's like, can we at least get a tree? And then Ivy's like, you support the mass genocide of plants? And she's like, kinda.
As it applies to Christmas trees, yes, indeed I do.
They're miserable, and then Ivy's like, I got a plan. Cut to something I'm very excited about.
Yes. It's what, like Bruce Wayne's holiday party?
No, it's not. It's Veronica Vreeland's
holiday party,
and I am happy. We got my girl, Double V.
Mm-hmm.
Veronica Vreeland having her party and being like, all those girls want to fuck you, Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce seems to be in this scene, he's like oddly like, what? Like, girls want to fuck me.
Why would girls want to fuck me? He says it in that voice.
Yeah.
Why would girls want to fuck me?
You go over there and you ask them.
Yeah. Veronica.
Tell me why girls want to fuck me.
My loins. No.
No.
Women.
No. This episode is cut. This part of the anthology is sort of women, though.
It's a very, like, it's like a Beatles movie. It is.
It's like Help.
Yeah. It's stupid. This part's dumb. Bruce is under the mistletoe.
I love it because it's the angriest we've ever seen Bruce, and it's because of a very specific reason.
Yes. Now, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, you do.
They're ruining my wealth.
Yeah, they're taking my wealth.
I'm powerless. Look at all these credit card slips I have to sign.
I'm so stunned that the first thing Bruce doesn't do after getting freed from Ivy's grasp in this episode, I'm amazed that the very first thing wasn't to immediately go back to the department store and return all the items. I'll deal with him later. First things first.
Yeah. First things first. I've got wealth to protect.
I've got to repair my credit score.
Ivy kisses him, and it's like they show it in shadows, and I'm like, guys, we already know who this is.
Yeah, we know what the game is here.
Like, what are you doing? And then they kidnap him in costume.
Yeah, at his party.
They didn't have to do that. Like, they could have just been... Like, their identities are public knowledge.
Yeah.
It's, like, a lot easier to be incognito when you're just two hot girls instead of two hot girls in villain outfits.
Also...
Two famous serial killers.
Right, yeah. Two nationally renowned, or nationally infamous, rather. There's a through line in this pair of episodes, too, related to that, is that... Harley and Ivy go in costume. They abduct Bruce in costume and take him to the department store in costume
yep.
to go shopping. And then in the second episode, Two-Face goes in full Two-Face regalia to the airport in the middle of the day to retrieve something from a safety deposit box.
I mean, I don't think he owns, like, sweats.
Yeah, but you think he'd wait in the car?
I mean, he seems pretty hands-on.
Yeah, it's... I don't know.
He's got two hands. He has to use them both or else he'll die.
Well, let's say you're working at the Gotham airport. You see Two-Face walk in with two goons. I mean, you're pulling the alarm immediately, right? You're not going to be like, oh, I want to see where he's going with this.
Yeah, Two-Face should be kind of like late stage Michael Jackson in how he goes out. You know, like looking like he's caught in a sandstorm or something, you know, like. Well, okay, so then we have the driver, and he's kissed on the cheek, and he looks, essentially, he has the same image as Captain Clown. He's, like, very rigid and just with a smile on his face.
Yeah, it's odd. He looks like he has a dick full of scorpions or something. Like, he's paralyzed in a way that Bruce is not. So it's like, man... She really laid that lipstick on that driver pretty thick. Yeah. I don't know how he's able to drive the car in that state.
The cheek kiss has a much different effect, apparently.
Right. It's unexpectedly more potent.
Now they pull up to Bergdorf's and Bruce is fighting it but still walking, and then they just walk past the driver who is now just laying
just
on the fucking ground.
The street.
Like a fallen nutcracker. Like, he's just there for no reason. Is he dead? Did they tell him to lie down? There's no reason he should be on the ground.
I don't know if he's dead because he's back in the car when they leave the store.
Unless they got his brother.
That's true.
But, like, Ivy would have to say, now go lay down in the gutter.
Yeah, yes, she would have to do that.
And she doesn't. So we have the shopping scene... montage, the shopping spree to like a fun rendition, a little jazzy fun rendition of 12 Days of Christmas.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to like Bergdorf's, the department store, has diamonds by the tray. Did you notice that?
It didn't click until you pointed it out.
it's just a tray of diamonds.
What kind of operation are you running here?
Yeah. Also, it's funny that the Bergdorf's building is a full-on skyscraper. Like, it's like, it's all Bergdorf's all the way up.
Right, and I'm relatively certain that Bruce Wayne is one of their only customers, right? Because who else are you stocking a tray full of diamonds for?
I mean, Gotham's got some wealthy men.
Yeah.
We saw Poison Ivy turn them all into trees.
That's true, yeah.
Like a year ago, you know? So Harley puts on Ivy's lipstick because Bruce is, Bruce is like starting to shake it off.
Yeah.
And Ivy's like, And then Harley puts on the lipstick, and I'm just like, oh, you can just do that?
Yeah, it's not like a toxic thought. Right. Like, I was like, wouldn't that just mind control Harley?
Yeah, or poison her?
I don't know.
Like, you got to remember, like, Ivy has, like, poison seeping out of her. Like, it could be, like, a acids and bases kind of thing. It could burn Harley's lips off.
I don't know. They are a couple. Maybe they figured that out by now.
Oh, yeah. She was inoculated. Remember?
No, I don't.
She was Ivy inoculated Harley.
Oh, okay.
So she could survive in the junkyard that they were in.
Yeah, their junkyard pad.
Anyway, Bruce falls down the shaft and dies.
Sure does. So my question is, he falls down the shaft but climbs back up as Batman. So one of two things is possible. Either he has that costume on underneath his tuxedo, which is something
you would wear to Veronica Vreeland's holiday party.
Would 100% do that.
Yeah.
Or two, there's a Batman costume stored at the bottom of the elevator shaft, which is also a possibility.
It's a pretty standard move.
Right? He just has them all over the city in strategic spots.
Yeah, they're like Kilroy was here tagging. Yeah. You know, they're just like
Andre
hitting
the Giant
all over
stickers.
The city. Yeah. Yeah, they're Obey Giants all over the fucking city. Obey Bat. And then they're like, oh, he died. And they're just like, man, we were going to do that anyways. And basically, Batman chases them into a toy store.
Yes.
And he starts walking around with, like, just, like, a regular flashlight.
Yeah.
I don't know why this is a weird thing to me, but it is.
Yeah. Like, normally, he'd have, like, a bat lamp or something. It's like, no, this is just a mag light.
Just a regular silver grandpa flashlight.
Right.
That grandpa has in his garage.
Yeah. This is what grandpa used to fish dead raccoons out of the well.
Yeah. You know where the light is like an orange filament light?
Yeah. It looks like vaguely plaguish.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're just like, well, this is how grandpa didn't die in the 30s. They're up on top of a big...
soaked in radium for some reason.
Yeah. I don't really get it, but I'll wear it. They're on a big tower of toys, and he like climbs up and is immediately knocked right the fuck off and then beaten savagely by Harley.
I laughed my ass off at that because he climbs his whole stack of toys knowing they're up there, and then he fucking pokes his head up like a
like
whack-a-mole.
A whack-a-mole.
Just shoves his face up there and immediately gets drilled by Ivy, and then he falls down like halfway, and then Harley fucking knocks his ass off the rest of the way.
They're running away, and Batman just grabs
An embarrassing night for Bruce.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Those girls got his number, you know?
Yeah.
And then he fucking pulls the tree trunk from under it, and it falls onto them. And like, well, Harley, I guess you got your tree. And scene. And that was dumb.
It was okay.
Fine.
I enjoyed watching Bruce get so mad that they were spending his money.
My wealth.
Like, honestly, how much of his money could they have possibly spent? That was like less than 1/1000% of Bruce's net worth.
It's
the principal.
Sure.
It's mine.
Yeah. It's the principal that's gonna. I'm gonna have to pay the principal on this credit card. He's just, what a fuckface, man. It's funny, too. You can clearly tell that they shifted this show to Saturday mornings, too. For some things. And then other things, you're like, really?
Yeah, the action is a little more... it's not Looney Tunes, but like there's a more...
It's very Warner. It's very Warner.
There's more impact to it, if that makes sense. Yeah.
We cut to Babs at the mall on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Probably thinking about fucking Bruce.
Yeah. It's on her list.
And then And then you have Bullock being shitty Santa on a stakeout.
Yeah, bad Santa with Bullock. My God. I was so delighted with that reveal.
Yeah, and then there's the kid that's like, "You're not the real Santa Claus," and he goes, "Sure I am. Want to see my gun?" And I was like, "That's a good line.
Solid line."
And then you see some little naughty kids running around being shady.
Yeah, very Dickensian.
And then Babs catches one of them and he disintegrates. And I was like, "Oh, it's a fucking Clayface episode." And the reason I'm always blown away by Clayface's existence in this show, because he should 100% be a Superman villain.
Right. He's unkillable.
Mm-hmm.
He's impossibly strong.
He can apparently apportion his consciousness across multiple items.
Yeah.
And we see the chase is on. All four kids merge to become Clayface, who has got to be just the dumbest motherfucker on the planet.
Right. He's like he's like Electro, or like he's a villain that has a really incredible power and just can't figure out how to use it in a way that's smart.
Clayface is a god.
Yeah.
He is a minor Greek god, essentially.
Yeah.
He's the Golgothan, for God's sake. Like he's a fucking invincible monster, and he's pretending to jack watches. He's not pretending, he's jacking watches.
He's legitimately doing that.
And it's like, fucking dude,
you are applying your fucking biblical powers to commit larceny?
Petty theft. Petty theft.
Spread out across four fictional orphan boys?
Yeah. Why don't you
do
that?
How long did you think about this?
Yeah.
I know it was weeks.
He's got to be a heroin addict, right?
Right,
or on meth. Like, he's got to take that clay meth. It's like a special meth. It's the only way you would have to steal that kind of bullshit instead of just getting like a real crime job.
Smoking it out of clay pots. Yeah,
like how much money could he make if he worked for the fucking Joker?
All of it.
All of the money. All of it.
You could install him in the White House like G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra.
Are you kidding me? He could be... I love that movie. That's a great one. Although that's G.I. Joe Retaliation, I think.
Oh, no, it happens at the end of the first one.
Oh, well, yes, that's true. That is true. I do like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, Zartan. I love G.I. Joe Retaliation. So, this should ruin everyone's Christmas. This would be sort of the equivalent in Gotham. This would be the equivalent of like seeing a terrorist with a bomb on their chest at a department store.
Yeah, it's like a 12-foot clay monster.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is like the emotional toil would be akin to that.
Man, like Gothamites must be so stressed out all the time.
Dude, the therapy revenue in that fucking town. Just so many therapists raking it in because some kid saw fucking Clayface fight Santa. Santa shot Clayface in his demon face.
Yeah, with vomit on the front of his Santa suit. Yeah. We cannot let slide. Yeah.
Santa farted while it was happening, yeah.
I'm sure he did.
Clayface is just wrecking shit. And then what's his name there? Bullock goes out. Hold it, Freaker, we'll drill ya. What do you think is happening here, Harvey?
Bullock, this is not the first time you've met Clayface.
No. You've heard of Clayface.
Yeah, you're aware of Clayface.
You know the drill.
Yeah.
Anyway, Batgirl kicks him in what I'm assuming is his approximation of a face.
Yeah.
And then Montoya and Bullock, so she kicks him and he falls into the ice rink. And the ice rink was like a little local pond.
Yeah, because he falls through into the water.
And falls into the water, and Babs is like, shoot the Santa. Shoot the electric Santa, and it'll hopefully land in the water and electrocute Clayface. So Montoya and Bullock are wildly shooting towards several skyscrapers to knock this Santa down. Someone for sure got paralyzed by one of those bullets.
Oh, yeah. And meanwhile, while they're firing up at this Santa for about 20 to 22 full seconds, Clayface is just standing there looking up at it like it's a 4th of July show.
Hey, what are you doing?
He's just watching it.
You idiot cops.
Oh, boy, you better hope you don't finish what you're doing before I move, because I'm going to move pretty soon.
They electrocute Clayface, and then they're just like, well, he's taken care of.
I'm like, is he?
Is he? Because he's a demon, and you don't know if he even can die. He could be playing possum.
Yeah.
And then Montoya's like, well, he's like, we're going to go. And she's like, nope, we have to recover evidence. You better roll up those sleeves. And he's like, bah! And
yeah.
I'm like, fucking, this is weird.
He gets to pull watches out of Clayface's ass.
Yeah. Open up your beehole, freak. Now we have New Year's Eve. There's a football game, and Joker takes out a commercial where he swears not to kill anyone all year, so he's going to end up killing a bunch of people, and the countdown is going to begin. And then they go, one victim's already dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ. They actually killed a guy.
Full on and Smilex dead, too.
And it's Dr. John Erickson, who engineered a sonic bomb that kills anyone within earshot unless they have special headphone mufflers on. And my original thought was like, maybe it's best.
That he's dead? Yeah.
Maybe he should be dead.
I think he was an evil man.
Yeah.
What is that?
I feel like the Joker killed him in a meeting they already had scheduled.
Right. He built that for the Joker.
Yeah, the Joker just didn't pay.
Right.
And so they go to basically Gotham Square at midnight, and the Joker's on the main stage, and nobody notices.
Moreover, the crowd gathered there to watch the countdown is, one, presumably aware that he took out a Super Bowl ad telling everybody he was going to kill a bunch of people tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Second, they find a table full of Joker masks, and they're just like, fucking party, and just put them on.
I have a lot of opinions about the Joker masks.
Like, if you go to any place in Gotham City, they're handing out Joker masks, I'd be like, I think we got to get out of town.
Yeah, no, this isn't like
we got to get out of here.
Yeah, like no one's putting on like Jeffrey Epstein masks, or like no, you know, like nobody's putting on like fucking serial killer masks. That's fucked up. And if they did, I'd be like, I don't need to live here anymore.
Well, yeah, and I mean, just beyond that, it's like in the even if it wasn't the Joker handing out the masks, like we pointed out in the Hush episode. Like performances of Pagliacci should be illegal in Gotham.
Oh, yeah.
Like, don't hand out Joker masks, because he's going to show up if you do that.
It's a whole ass thing, man. Also, yeah. He killed some guards.
Yep.
There
are three full-on Smilex deaths in about 20 seconds in this episode.
Yeah. Batman finds Joker and the goons, and he immediately does that chest kick into one of them, where it's like, oh, they are setting the tone.
His Joker mask flies off. It kicks him so hard.
His life flies off.
Part of his soul went out of his mouth.
I think I got a screenshot of it, and I was just like, "This nobody should be okay with this.
I don't care like, what this man has done.
A 250-pound... fucking athlete,
muscular bullet
careening right into your chest with a 45-foot vertical drop.
You got shot with an athletic cannonball.
Yeah, it's a rich bullet just fucking caved in your chest.
The funniest part of it to me is you can kind of see the Joker in the background going like, Jesus.
Yeah. Like, what did you do? We also, this is the new Joker design, which
yes.
You and I, we had a conversation with Logan Trent. Shout out to Logan Trent. About this, where like the loss of the lips is a problem. And he said, even then, like, he questioned Bruce Timm about it at a convention. And he was just like, well, we wanted to make him look more like a skeleton. And like 14-year-old Logan Trent just goes, but he's a clown.
Yeah. But he's like not a skeleton. He's a clown.
But he's a clown. And yeah. It's like, yeah, that's correct.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you are correct.
That is the correct. Shout out to Logan Trent for being very correct. Yeah. The Joker's looking at it being like, that's a bit much. So then Robin tackles a dude, and the dude just throws him off. Also, this is an interesting thing, because the way they animate Robin, he's clearly still learning.
Yes.
Like, you see, there's this... Oh, also, we all want to talk about that there's this giant fight, and nobody in Gotham seems to give a shit that Batman and a serial killer are having a fight on the main podium.
Yeah, they're all still counting down.
It's like, guys, look slightly to the left.
Well, even before Batman showed up, like, the main stage, you know, where all these, like, thousands of people are gathered, is just the Joker playing ragtime piano in front of a device that's clearly a bomb.
Yeah, is that a bell bomb?
Yeah.
And there's this fight, and then, there, you know, nobody in Gotham seems to really care. Batman sprays champagne onto the bomb controls, and that's how it dies. That's a real lucky. That was a luck move.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Also, there's a scene where Batman jumps onto something, and Robin jumps after him, and like has to struggle to get up. It's actually a cute little. It's a cute little animatic and a smart way to introduce us to the fact that we have a new Robin.
Yeah.
Then the bell falls on the Joker and somehow doesn't kill him.
No, it also lands on his arm, though.
Yeah, he's...
Explicitly. He's in the next scene, Gordon's like, how's your arm? And he's like, better than the Joker's. Yeah. Joker lost that arm.
Yeah, that arm is done. The next arm you see,
on it.
Mark Hamill's getting another bionic arm, buddy. Oh, man. And then scene... And then Gordon, we have Gordon walking into a tavern, and then the tavern owner kicks out the regulars who are singing, what is it, Auld Lang Syne?
Auld Lang Syne? I don't know.
Yeah. And
the
then
New
Batman,
Year's Eve song.
Yeah. Should old acquaintance be forgot, blah, blah, blah. Gordon walks in, and then the guy kicks him out, and he's like, you think he's going to show up? He's like, well, he wouldn't want to break tradition. Batman shows up. They sit down. Chit chat for what seems like about 8 seconds.
Yeah.
Batman has one sip of coffee and then fucks right off.
Yeah, he does.
And I'm like, is that the tradition?
What a shitty, like, come on, man.
You just look at a guy, sip some coffee, and then fuck off after 8 seconds? You made that tavern guy close his tavern for that?
Yep. Gordon cleared, like, an hour and a half in his schedule to accommodate it, you know, like travel time there, and it's like missing time with his wife and kids on New Year's Eve.
Spending time with his family, yeah.
Yeah, to look at Batman for 30 seconds.
And then to have him fuck off when he's not even, when he's not looking. I would love to see Batman do the thing where he waits till Gordon turns around, and then he like drops the money and like sprints out real quiet.
Yeah.
Takes off his boots so you can't hear him.
The one time his foot catches on the fucking table or something. He just crashes through the window.
Gets caught. Batman, why are you not wearing your shoes? Jesus.
Crime. I don't know.
This is going to cost me wealth, isn't it? No, we have a budget for this. Between the amount of lawsuits we have to deal with from goons with caved-in chests and broken-ass windows that you've destroyed thinking you're being cute.
Oh, shit. So, yeah, we got to see Batman ruin several people's, paralyze several human beings
Christmas
in the holiday
is gonna
season.
Christmas is going to be triggering for a lot of people.
Oh, yes.
Holiday season rolls up, and, man, it's just a rough go.
Oh, man. And that's a sod.
That is a sod. Well, that's one.
That's one of the two, yeah.
That's one animated sod, because now we got Sins of the Father, which should have been the first episode, but isn't.
Yeah, it's weird that it wasn't.
Yeah. Sins of the Father starts at night. It's a kid running with a cop's donuts, and there's an old cop chasing him that looks exactly like he's about to die.
Yeah. He's seconds from the grave.
He's caught on a fire escape. He's like, now I got you, kid. And he's like, I don't think so. And he throws a batarang, and it falls, and it like wraps around him. And then he takes off. And then we're like, oh, it's Tim Drake.
Yeah.
Somebody cut to some thugs knocking on Drake's door, and it's like, all right, so it's clearly a Robin Origin story.
Oh, man, I love this scene.
They kick in the door, and there's Batman drawings and clippings on the wall. There's a mess everywhere. Tim shows up, they grab him, and he escapes. And they immediately
start shooting at him.
They shoot at him like they don't know what guns do. Two-Face blocks him.
Yeah.
Ties him up. They have a little interrogation where he is slapping Robin.
Yeah, he is. He's
Two-Face, and in my head, I'm like, man, Fox Kids was like, yep, yeah, this seems like a Saturday morning show.
They really, I mean, we've seen 3 Smilex deaths. We're going to see child abuse. We're going to see some more death in this episode.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, it's fine. Because the kid's smaller now. And he goes, where's your father, kid? And he's like, I don't know. And he's like, he stole something from me. And he goes, you're charming, good looks. And I was like, that's a good burn.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, like, they find
like
a letter with
face.
Yeah.
Solid burn.
Ooh.
See? That'd have gotten me a smack.
That's right, kid. There's a key from his dad. And then they're like, what about the kid? And he flips the coin. He goes, kill him. And then Batman fucks them up.
My God, there's some wholesale ass beating in this episode.
Batman doesn't mince words in these. He's a real silent killer.
Yeah, in this episode in particular.
Yeah, well, the last one too.
That's
there's not true. A lot
he
of him.
Barely speaks in the last episode. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of him just he's not doing the like, oh, you're not gonna get away with this. He's just like, I'm gonna break the back of your head when you're not looking.
Yeah, he's just efficiently crippling people.
Yeah, Batman's fucking them up. Tim escapes, and then Two-Face throws one of those like barge hooks.
Yes.
Like one of those heavy like fishnet hooks. I don't know. And then Tim goes, behind you. And Batman goes, what? And then just gets fucking creamed by it.
Right,
anyways.
Gets absolutely nailed by this fucking thing.
I don't know.
By
duck?
A big hook.
Yeah, it's aggressive. It's a big fucking 80-pound coming at your real heavy hook.
Like after the after like such an opening volley, Bruce spends the next 10 minutes like almost drowning and clinging to a 10-year-old boy for life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's guns, there's explosions, the whole thing. Batman and Tim sort of fall into the water. Tim saves Batman. Batman calls the boat and says home. And they as soon as they get in and they're like, it closes, and the guys start shooting their guns at the bat boat. And in my head, I'm like, how many times can you shoot a Batman vehicle before you just know you have to give up?
I don't know. I figure like each time, be like, maybe this time.
Yeah, man. Hope springs eternal. But at the same time, like, it's Batman's boat. You think he can't handle a 9mm?
I don't know, man. You never know. Listen.
That's true. A hook took him out.
Right. That hook hit him so hard that he brought a strange boy to the Batcave.
Oh, man.
Like, he got fucked up so bad he gave away his entire secret to this orphan.
It's
quick, buy some more boat hooks. Mm-hmm.
We know his weakness.
It's boat hooks.
Boat hooks and not looking out.
Oh man, so they're arriving at the Batcave. Tim's like, "Oh, look out, we're going to crash," and they don't. Tim waves at Alfred and Alfred goes, "Oh dear." And the reason Alfred says this is not because this is going to be a problem, but he knows what's in store for Tim. He's like, "Oh, another dead one."
Yeah, he's going to end up at the bottom of the Bat Chasm for sure.
Great. Gonna see him die. And now Alfred's like patching up Bruce and Tim's just like walking around. He's like, "You have no idea how much I've wanted to be here and do this and blah, blah, blah." And then he walks by and there's like Batman has like what is essentially like a like an impulse buy area that just has batarangs and bombs. Like a bargain bin of explosives.
Yeah, it looks like the kickball rack at school.
Yeah.
Only it's full of bombs.
Only it's full of actual bombs.
Yeah.
And then Tim's poking around. He discovers that he's in Wayne Manor. He sees a giant wad of cash, a lot of Wayne accoutrement. And then Batgirl catches him, brings him down. She's like, "Look what I found." He's like, "Hey, you can trust me." And then she shakes him down a little bit and the money in the the money clip. And
And then
and the watch show up.
Bruce regains consciousness as soon as that money clip hits the floor.
Yeah, it's like the smelling, it's smelling salts to him. That's why Alfred was saying, "Oh dear,
yeah.
My wealth.
I sense my wealth is in danger."
And then Tim shows that he has batarang skill by fucking up a bunch of stalactites.
Yep.
And I was just like, "That you don't know what that's about to do." "Thanks, you just crushed my plane."
Right.
And then he goes, "I found it after you cleaned some bangers out of the hood." And in my head, I was like, "Uh oh."
Yeah. Solid.
That's not gonna age well.
Thanks, 1997.
Yeah. It's great, isn't it? Yeah. So basically, we find out that his dad worked for Two-Face and left him a key at Gotham Airport. Because Bruce, she's like, "Oh, there's an imprint of the key. Does this look familiar?" And Bruce's like, "Gotham Airport." And I'm like, "How many bat suits have you stored in lockers at Gotham Airport, Bruce?"
Yeah.
Babs, they show up, Two-Face at Gotham Airport. Two-Face is grabbing the bag, and then Batman caves in a dude's chest again.
Yeah, and then Two-Face sprints down the terminal and just smacks this dude in the face with the bag, and the guy goes flying.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, Two-Face hijacks a luggage cart.
Yeah, Babs does a whole bunch of flips and stuff, and they're like kind of big dudes that she's fighting. And I'm like, I guess in a real world, if a gymnast came flipping at you, you'd kind of just throw her.
Yeah, you know, probably.
Like, there's kind of an aspect of like, I don't know, man. Maybe you got to get a little better at your job if Batgirl's fucking you up.
Yeah, or maybe Babs needs to start putting weights in her shoes or something.
Yeah, or maybe she does. Maybe she wears like brass knuckles and shit.
Oh yeah, maybe. All I'm saying is 110 pounds of Barbara Gordon can't really go flipping into Killer Croc.
Could you? I'm not going to hit you because I respect you. I respect what you're trying to do.
Would you mind some constructive criticism?
I'm not here to tell you how to do your job, but
I'm a pretty big guy, so you're going to have to hit me at certain points, like the back of the knee.
Yeah, look at my knees. Back of They're the weak neck. Areas. Yeah. Hit me in the jeans.
Babs,
she's fucking those guys up, and Bruce goes after Two-Face.
Yeah.
And almost and gets hit by a plane.
Two-Face tips the thing over with Bruce on it, and Batman is going to about to have a plane run him over.
Two-Face really found Batman's kryptonite in this episode, and it's random pieces of, like, utility equipment.
Yep. Batman has a rough go this episode.
Yeah.
If we could be 100% honest, this is one of his roughest episodes physically.
He really does. I just realized the two things he gets toppled by, a giant boating hook and a baggage cart, are like two minimum wage blue collar jobs. Which
yep.
is why Bruce has no idea how to deal with them.
Yeah, I don't know what these are. I know what they are in theory, but
I've never studied them before in practice.
Yeah, it's like running into a wood nymph. You don't know what it actually... I read about these.
This is servant work.
Then we cut to like Tim sort of waking up and having a nightmare.
Can we talk about the room he's in for a brief moment?
Oh, Creeptown, USA, you mean?
Right. The fucking haunted mansion. They've dragged a gigantic bed into the middle of this room, which looks like one of the places where Mr. Body might have been murdered.
It's a gothic mansion.
Right, and the bed is directly in the center of the room.
Yeah, that way the monsters can get you from all angles.
Right, yeah.
Which, like, that's a real thing when you're Bruce Wayne to be like, people could kill us.
Yeah.
Like, it happens. Two-Face and Riddler figured it out pretty quickly in Batman Forever.
Yeah.
Basically, Bruce is doing research on Stephen Shifty Drake.
Okay, and it's classic, like, man, Shifty Drake.
What'd you do to get that name, Shifty? So then he find out he's dead, and then Babs is like, well, you know, she's like a John Doe with his fingerprints, and he's like, he's dead. And then Tim goes down and he's like, did you say my dad is dead? And then Bruce is like, yep. Like, his bedside manner is aggressively bad.
He can't wait to tell other kids that their parents are dead.
Yeah. Welcome to the club.
Now you know my pain.
Now you know my pain.
I was a boy.
I was once a boy. But it's like kind of like I literally wrote in the notes, I wrote, Jesus, Bruce.
Yep.
Like, calm down. Is my dad coming back? No, he's dead. All right.
He's bloated in a Metropolis river.
Now, Two-Face says, 22 million by 2 a.m., or this gas will murder you. And then Tim's like, oh, he's at the old Janus movie theater. The abandoned Janus movie theater. And Bruce is like, why didn't I think of the abandoned place?
Yeah, the abandoned movie theater named for the twin god.
So Tim's like, I want to come. And Bruce is like, fuck off. No. And so it cuts over to 158 at the Janus Theater. Gotham didn't pay.
Yeah, Two-Face is like, I really thought they were going to pay.
Seems weird. Also, his bomb is the bomb from Die Hard 3. Yes, okay.
It 100% is.
I was like, this is the Die Hard with a Vengeance bomb.
Yeah.
It's probably filled with syrup.
Corn syrup?
Now, I sent you a video clip. And this video clip is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Because Two-Face, like, hears something and he goes, he's here. And then a thug goes, where? Right near some crates. And out of nowhere, Batman pops out between two crates, sucker punches him in the fucking face, and just wrecks his life.
Yep. It's like a Shoryu. It's like a dragon uppercut.
It's so bad. It's so fucking funny, though.
He was crouched silently in those crates for several seconds.
Just waiting to
waiting for somebody to say Tony Wonder.
Yeah, so, I was literally, dude, it's so funny you said that, because I was about to say the Tony Wonder bit in Arrested Development really does sort of play out what Batman would be like if he were a real person, like,
right?
Just giddily
hiding giddily in a dumb waiter for 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like, I laughed out loud.
It's pretty great. Yeah, it's the timeline of this man's life is now forever divided between before that moment and after that moment.
Yeah, before I had to get a new jaw and after I got my new jaw. Two-Face sets the bomb. Meanwhile, there is a thug that is going toe to fucking toe with Batman.
Yeah.
Two-Face grabs his Tommy gun. Batgirl is like hiding. He's shooting at everyone. Batgirl's hiding behind an aluminum popcorn maker.
Yep.
And I'm like, you're dead.
Yeah.
That's like holding up a newspaper to prevent bullets from hitting you. That's not going to work.
No, they generally didn't make those bulletproof to use on the boardwalk.
Robin shows up and starts whipping film canisters at him and is immediately brained with a crowbar.
Immediately gets taken hostage. Way to go, Tim.
Yeah. In the hostage situation, Tim sort of breaks free, throws a batarang, and sort of gets loose.
Yeah, he brings down this light rigging, and it lands directly on top of one of the thugs.
Babs goes to disarm the bomb and then just ends up ripping the wires, which is twice in a row that the I need to put this bomb out was just basically dumb luck.
Yeah.
Because Bruce sprayed champagne. He's like, use champagne. Batman
is the symbol of wealth.
Batman is a little angry at Tim. He's a little mad. A little angry
at
Tim for getting loose. But then they cut to him sparring with American Gladiator-style pugil sticks in a boxing ring while wearing karate gis.
Yeah.
It is a fighting Mad Libs.
None of those elements go together.
Nope. It is the Mad Libs of contact sports.
And then Dick Grayson walks in. Where the fuck did he come from? How long has he been there?
And he just goes, yeah. Just watching it, being like,
and
I remember
Alfred
this.
Reacts like he hasn't seen him in 20 years.
Oh my.
Master Dick, you're no longer a child? Yeah, that's how time works, Alfred. How old do you think Bruce is?
And then Dick shows up and he goes, no one can be a boy wonder forever. It's like, well, you were a boy wonder when you were 20.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, you could have lasted a while, I guess.
Yeah.
And then that's the end.
Yeah.
And that's a sode.
Yeah, that's a sode. We're back in it.
I forgot to ask, and I don't know, is this a free sode or a Patreon only sode?
Because
we're starting a new
Let's make this a free episode.
I think it should be because now we're starting on a new long term thing, and I feel like if people are listening to this and they liked it, they could come to patreon.com/gamefullyun. Is it Gamefully Unemployed or Gamefully
Unemployed?
Oh,
it's Gamefully Unemployed, sir.
Yeah.
You can check it out there where we have all sorts of stuff. We got tiers where you can hang out with us on Friday nights and watch movies. We got exclusive podcasts like this one.
And Fox Mulder is a Maniac, which dissects the amazing X-Files through the eyes of people knowing that Fox Mulder is a fucking psychopath.
Yeah, he's completely out of control. Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, you and David Bell have a great network. You do great things.
Oh, thanks, man.
So people should listen. I think I 100% think you should check out the Patreon. It's super cheap, too.
Yeah, man.
So if you want to continue watching the new adventures of Batman and Robin with Tom and I on a weekly basis, check out the Gamefully Unemployed Patreon.
Yeah. And while you're at it, we got a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed. Where you can check out t-shirts, mugs, posters, all that kind of cool stuff. And feel free to leave us a review wherever you have to be listening to this. It helps us out a lot.
Yep. Get that visibility up.
Mm-hmm.
What else you got going on, Tom?
That's
anything
it.
Anything you write? Anything out there?
That's it. Jeff, what about you?
A couple of things. I have a few podcasts you should hear about. Sideshow with Jeff May through Sideshow Collectibles. Is every other Tuesday, and most recently had Michael McMillan from True Blood and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and a million other things on, and it was a goddamn delight. And that's available wherever podcasts are found, including YouTube. I have a wonderful show called You Don't Even Like Sports with Adam Todd Brown on the Unpopular Opinion Network. So don't be afraid to check that one out. It's a sports podcast for people that don't like sports. Also, if you like live comedy, Mint on Card, my live show at A Blast from the Past, a toy store in Burbank, is the second Friday of every month at Beautiful Blast from the Past on Magnolia in Burbank, California. So you're going to want to check that out. I'm on a bunch of stuff. I do a bunch of stuff. Support live comedy. Follow me and Tom on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Gamefully Unemployed on the social media. And subscribe. Don't be weird about it.
Yeah, just don't make it a thing. Just do it. Just do it.
Yeah, just it's lots of fun. Yeah, and I think you're going to like it.
Yeah.
We have well over 50 episodes of this podcast banked.
Jeez.
We're in our high 60s, right?
It's more than that, man.
When did we start? I don't even know. Is this like a 2-year-old podcast? How long have we been doing this?
Yeah, we've been doing this for 2 years.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I guess we have like 100 episodes.
We have a lot. There's a big backlog of episodes. There's a whole lot of Batman to watch.
Yeah. And watch it with us.
Yeah. It's a thing we do that you can do as well. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening. Thank you so much. I love you.
You're okay. You're okay.
Oh, go on.
In my book. You're okay in my book.
All right. Bye.
Let's get out of here. Bye.
That means he's not coming back. My old man, he's gone for good. That's what a John Doe means, right?
Well, we can't be absolutely...
Yes.
Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin T. Brown and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.